Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Alrighty, hour number two of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. And ahead of the 2024 NFL Draft, P&G and Meyer are teaming up to host players in Detroit at the P&G Draft House presented by Meyer, where they'll be provided with essentials from trusted P&G brands like Tide to help them be ready for anything as they begin their pro careers. And tomorrow evening in Detroit, Joe Alt should be hearing his name very early in the NFL draft out of Notre Dame, and he's kind enough to join us right now on the Zach Gelb Show. Joe, first off, I know this is an exciting time for you. Congratulations on all your past success, and thanks so much for doing this.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So here we are, getting set day before the draft. Just kind of take me through your emotions as this is a long dream, right? It's in the family, obviously, with who your father has been on the gridiron, but now you're going to start your NFL journey tomorrow. Take me through how you're feeling right now.
Yeah. First and foremost, I'm very excited. You know, it's a great opportunity, you know, moving forward. You know, it's my dream, like you said, to go on and play at the next level. I'm super fortunate to be put in this position and very grateful. But also, you know, it's a little bit of nerves. I really don't have a strong feeling of where I'm going tomorrow. So it's going to be really exciting when I sit down and, you know, get that phone call, because I really don't, you know where I'm going to be headed. So getting that phone call will be something really exciting and really something exciting for my family.
You know, I keep on thinking you're going to land in Tennessee. I feel like every mock draft that I've seen has Joe Alt going to Tennessee at 7. I see a little smile that comes across your face when I say that. I know you just said you don't know, but how does the meetings in the past go with Tennessee and their brass?
Yeah, the reason for the smile is my mom. My mom's the one always watching the mock drafts, and she keeps yelling out, "Joe, everyone wants to go to Tennessee," so that's why I give the smile. But you know, my 30 visit with the Titans went really well. Got to sit down with both Coach Brian Callahan and Coach Bill Callahan, and Coach Brian Callahan kind of laid out the future for the team and what he sees and what the strengths are and where they need improvements and how he's going to go about doing that. And then with Coach Bill Callahan, he really gave me, you know, how he teaches offensive line play. And it's very black and white, and I think that's a great way to, you know, teach it for me. I have a better understanding of what the coach wants, how to improve, you know, from practice to practice. So it was a great experience for me, and I was able to, you know, learn a lot and see the city afterwards. So I had a great time.
You know, through this process, everyone's going to make a case why one lineman should be the first lineman off the board compared to another. Since I have you here, let's just say, Joe Alt, that I'm an NFL GM and I'm looking to draft a lineman early in the draft tomorrow evening. Why should I take Joe Alt? What do you bring to my football team?
Yeah, I think you get an ultimate competitor. That's the first thing. I love football. I love the game. I love the idea of winning and, you know, playing and competing to be the best each and every day. And through hard work, I think you accomplish that. And, you know, within my game, the things I hold to myself and think I'm very good at is I have the ability to be athletic at my size and mirror guys and pass pro with my feet, but also having the length to keep guys outside of my body, be the first guy to strike them. And then in the run game, I have a very I have the ability to block second level defenders and stay in front of them with my athletic ability. So I think those are some of the things that I always, you know, try to touch on when I'm talking to teams and, you know, what I kind of sell myself on.
Obviously, being an offensive lineman is in your family, but I was reading when you were growing up and in high school, you played some quarterback, you played some linebacker, and even some tight end too. Take me through your journey as a football player. We all know what you've done at Notre Dame and how you're viewed as an offensive lineman, but take me through, Joe Ault, how you got from all those other positions to eventually the offensive line.
Yeah, my dad always wanted me to play multiple positions growing up. We kind of had a feeling for my body that it would end up being offensive line. So he wanted me to understand the game at a different level. You know, at quarterback, you have to understand an entire defense. At linebacker, you have to know how to, you know, run the defense. So eventually it'll help out with offensive line play, because that's where we kind of figured my body would go. But, you know, all the way up till 10th grade, I played quarterback and inside linebacker. That's what I always played. And then ended up switching to tight end once I grew my junior year. And then my senior year, I played tight end as well and one game of tackle. And then as I got to Notre Dame, I kind of put more and more weight on and eventually slid into tackle. And that's where I've been playing since.
Give me the scouting report. What was Joe Ault like as a quarterback?
Oh, Joe Ault was a big quarterback. He was a heavy quarterback. We love the power sweep from Joe Ault quarterback. So we run all peewee and just get out on the edge and use the stiff arm. That was my go-to, but kind of started slowing up a little bit as I got heavier, and it was kind of time to, you know, move to a different position, aka tight end with the growth spurt. So quarterback slowly got eaten out of.
Well, I heard you also say tight end too. How are your hands? Because yeah. Tackle eligible in the NFL, you know, my buddy Deion Dawkins, who I went to school with, he's caught a few touchdown passes. That'd be pretty neat if they run you on some of those tackle eligible plays.
Yeah, the tackle eligible plays are obviously very fun and a tackle's dream. We had one at Notre Dame last year, didn't end up running it. That's okay. But it's always like you're kind of waiting. You're like, is this the opportunity to get that one called? And, you know, it'd be super cool, obviously. Love to catch a touchdown in the NFL. What a great honor and cool thing to do. But, you know, my hands, I hope they're good. The only thing is I get worried when you start taping them and you get sweaty and they're not the sticky, you know, they're not the sticky than with the leather. I'm like, I don't know if I really could catch as well with these leather slippery gloves as, you know, receiver gloves. But only one way to find out.
That's awesome. Hopefully they run a few of those plays for you in your rookie season. I want to ask you about your older brother, Mark Ault, who's played hockey professionally, obviously. Did you ever play any hockey growing up? And how much of a resource was your brother?
Yeah, I played hockey until second grade, and we hung it up. Like I said, my body wasn't really a hockey body. It was more on the thicker side, taller side. End up playing basketball, but my brother has been a huge resource for me and someone who really has allowed me to develop my mental side of the game. He playing hockey, you know, the physical traits, there's a little bit of similarities with the physicality of the sports, but the mental side of the game is what I've learned from him the most. He had the ability to play 3 or 4 games a week, you know, travel from site to site to site, playing some years, you know, 80 plus games in a season, and being able to be mentally strong enough and tough enough to go out there and play at a high level every single night, even when your body was sore, you didn't feel well, he went out there and, you know, really taught me, you know, a large respect for the game of hockey and respect for him and how hard he worked and how hard he trained and what he was able to, you know, do in his career. It's, you know, I have a lot of respect for him and what he was able to do.
Obviously, you have such a unique background because your father played for the Kansas City Chiefs and he's in their Hall of Fame. Your brother played professionally in hockey. Just what kind of sports fan wondering were you growing up as a kid, Joe Ault?
Oh, I watched all sports because I was a part of it. I was watching high school sports, watching my sister play basketball. Football was always it, though. That was the one that was like, all right, that's the special one, and that's the one I want to do when I'm older.
What do you take away from your time with Marcus Freeman? Just wondering the last 2 years at Notre Dame since he became the head coach.
Yeah, there's a bright future at Notre Dame with Coach Freeman. I mean, running it, that's for sure. He has the ability to develop relationships with players where you want to play for him and you want to earn his respect on the field, but then you know he has your back off the field and wants the best for you as both a football player and a person. So I think it's only looking up at Notre Dame with him, you know, head coaching, and I'm, you know, really appreciative of that friendship we've grown and how we've developed each other's relationships, and best of luck and love watching what he's going to have to do these next couple of years.
Wrapping up with Joe Ault, who's going to hear his name called tomorrow evening, probably very early. I know we talked about Tennessee earlier. Any meetings with the Giants and the Chargers? Because just like your mother, I watch a lot of these mock drafts and I follow them religiously. And I start to see in the last 24 hours, well, maybe it could be the Giants. Maybe it could be the Chargers who are right in front of Tennessee sitting there in 5 and 6.
Yeah, I actually had a 30 visit with the Jets and the Giants, so no Chargers. But was able to go and kind of see New York in two different realms. The Jets are a bit further outside of New York City, where the Giants are a bit closer. Was able to see how they run their teams and learn from the offensive line coaches and head coaches what they, you know, had to offer and what they saw for their teams. So, you know, had great meetings with both those teams, learned a lot. And like I said, just excited to see what happens tomorrow night and where I'm heading.
Have you thought about maybe a quarterback or two that you think would be pretty damn cool if you were entering into their huddle coming up in the fall? And who would that be?
Yeah. I was obviously blessed with a great, handsome quarterback last year in Sam Hartman. You know, that was obviously a lot of fun to protect for him. But now, obviously, to the next level in the NFL, you know, any quarterback is a dream come true because I'm being able to participate in the thing that was my dream as a kid. So, you know, there's a lot of quarterbacks out there. You know, you can name any of them, and I'd say I couldn't be more excited to protect for them. So I'm just excited to play at the next level.
I know that you said there's going to be a big surprise element to this, as you truly don't have an idea where you're going to go. When you get that phone call tomorrow night, what do you think is going to be going through your head when through all this speculation and people trying to pretend like they know where you're going to actually go when you finally find out who that team is and, okay, it's dream accomplished of being an NFL player. Just how do you kind of process those emotions probably if you have to look a day ahead?
Yeah, it starts with that split second of excitement. Obviously, that's what I dreamed of as a kid my entire life. But then I think the biggest thing I want to switch it to is gratitude. I have these people around me, my family, my close friends who have supported me, taught me what it is to be a, you know, a man and to be a football player on and off the field. And I just want to show my sincere gratitude to all of them. And I wouldn't be in the spot I am without them and how appreciative I am of their time and their support for me.
You got a good fit for tomorrow, or are you just going with something classy?
We're just going with something classy, nothing crazy. It'll be nice and, you know, simple, but, you know, I'll be comfortable and ready to look good, I guess.
Yeah, I want my offensive linemen comfortable. Yeah. I don't need them all, like, slagged out. You know, we need them ready to go to work, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
All righty, Joe, tell me what you're doing today on behalf of Tide, P&G, and Meijer.
Yeah, I was able to partner with P&G and Meijer here. They have all the essentials I need going forward, moving into a new, bigger city, you know, new team, all of that. They're really ready for anything. You know, more specifically with Tide, I was always growing up a Tide kid. My mom, I was always in my laundry with Tide at the top of the laundry room and walking in there and seeing it and trying to pour it in myself and put way too much in. Who knows? Maybe I, you know, damaged the floor one time or not. Who knows? But, you know, that may have happened. But, you know, Tide was always there to tackle any of my smelly, you know, football jerseys, basketball jerseys. And then more recently with Meijer, going to Notre Dame and having Meijer in South Bend, I was able to grow respect for there and being able to, you know, attend there. That was where I did my shopping at South Bend. So I got a little perks thing for any Meijer shoppers out there. They can use M Perks to save $15 on a purchases of $50 or more P&G products through April 27th. So, you know, that's what I'm doing here today. And it's something that I, you know, really hold close to my heart and things that I've had throughout my life. So that's what I'm doing.
Let's say you could have a cheat meal and then you got to use some of that Tide because maybe you stain your shirt because you get too much food on the shirt and you got to wash it. What is the offensive lineman Joe Alt cheat meal if you're going out and having a big boy dinner?
Oh, you know, I'm a true just American simple guy. I love a good cheeseburger, a brat, some French fries. That's kind of my go-to. You can get a nice mixture of that, ketchup, mustard, mayo. You can make them all taste a little bit different and just kind of go to town. That's always been my cheat meal.
When you eat wings, you go ranch or blue cheese? Because that's been a big debate that I had.
Oh, ranch. It's got to be ranch.
Oh, my God.
I'm Midwest. I am ranch to the core. Yes, ranch, always.
Well, yeah. Joe, I won't hold that against you. Really do appreciate your time, and good luck. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Well, we will hold it against him a little bit, you know, for being honest. I appreciate Joe all coming on, but that's now two draft prospects. And this is how I do my scouting if they're going to be a successful pro or not. And I like Joe Alt, and you guys know me. I love Chris Jenkins, but when we were talking about ranch or blue cheese, both have said ranch, which is just crazy to me. The only time I like ranch is on a chicken bacon ranch slice of pizza. But I get wings. There's this one place that I go to in the city, which they have really good wings, but I don't go there as often as I would like to because you order blue cheese, and I can never tell if it's actually blue cheese or not. I always feel like it's ranch. So my friend last time we went there, he got ranch, I got blue cheese. We had no clue which was which. And I think that's just one of the great American pleasures, having a big wing and dunking it in like a mountain of blue cheese. So, Carlos, let me ask you this. You a ranch or a blue cheese guy?
Oh, blue cheese. Anybody who puts ranch on wings needs to go to jail.
Go to jail. I don't know if we need them to go to jail.
Ranch jail. The Schwartz Ranch jail.
Stu, you a ranch or a blue cheese guy?
I hate to disappoint you, Zach.
You're ranch?
I'm a ranch guy.
Jail.
I don't love blue cheese. I'll eat blue cheese, but I prefer ranch.
Jail. Send them now.
25.
Someone's getting demoted.
So you're saying there's an opening.
Congrats, righty. Carlos.
Cheat meal, though. Because I think that's an important question to ask an offensive lineman. Because then you know if they're telling the truth or if they're lying. And they're like, oh, I want a salad. Or, oh, I'll take a piece of grilled chicken. You know, they're just trying to give these teams the answers that they want. Carlos, cheat meal. It's a Saturday. You're hanging out. You're drinking a few beers. What's the cheat meal that you're going to?
I actually have to agree with Joe Alt, man. Give me the bacon cheeseburger. I don't need the broth, though. The bacon cheeseburger, waffle fries.
Ooh, well done, waffle fries.
Is there any other way?
You got to get fries well done. Stu, what's your cheat meal?
I am 3 for 3 here. It's got to be some type of a burger that's just loaded with stuff and a ton of calories. Yeah.
I would say if I'm going for meat, I guess it would be a fat cheesesteak with onions and banana peppers. I think that'd be very good. I want Italian. I think I'm starting out with the calamari, and then I'm going to some fat, disgusting rigatoni alla vodka.
But that's not a cheat meal. I call those weeknights.
That's a fair point. That is a very fair point. All right, then I go wings. Then I go wings. I got to just get a bunch of wings, get the hands dirty, give you the wet wipe afterwards, and then you'll be good to go. By the way, I saw in the YouTube chat, there is a new member in the YouTube chat, or someone just changed their name, to Perloff's Puck. And behind me, there has been this hockey puck that I'm now holding in my hand. And by the way, this hockey puck in my hand looks so small. This would be like if Shaq was holding a grape. So my guy, Brian, messaged me. You don't need to zoom. Oh, my God. We're getting really close and personal here on the Zoom. Stu, I think you're going like up my nostrils here with how much you zoomed in on this camera. But this hockey puck is not my hockey puck. It is actually Andrew Perloff's hockey puck, who, by the way, is going to be joining us tomorrow in studio. I don't know how we booked him. At 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, because Perloff and I are both draft nerds. I am a draft nerd. He is a huge draft nerd. So we'll do a little cross-show promotion manana. But this is Perloff's puck. And yes, I was with Perloff and Sully when they got this puck at the Knights Oilers game, where McDavid scored like a minute in, but then the Vegas Golden Knights did break their win streak, the Oilers win streak at the time. But how about the night of hockey last night? You had the Rangers survive in regulation against the Caps, the Panthers Lightning game with Vasilevsky and Bobrovsky. The save Bobrovsky made, I don't even know how Stelly made it, but then Carter Verhaeghe is like Mr. Big Game. 17 career playoff goals, 8 of those have been scored in the third period of overtime. Last night did net the game winner. You had the Avalanche win 5-2 and the Predators beat the Canucks 4-1. So Panthers go up 2-0, Rangers go up 2-0. You have the Avalanche and the Jets all tied up at 1, Predators and the Canucks all tied up at 1. And then tonight, as you read the Perloff's puck, you have two teams, Vegas and Edmonton. The Golden Knights will be going up against the Stars. Golden Knights, the defending Stanley Cup champions, to take game 1. You have the Knights and the Oilers, as I know the NHL would love to see McDavid get to the Stanley Cup final this year, but the Oilers are up 1-0. You got the Bruins and the Maple Leafs, as you did have the Maple Leafs steal game 2, so that's 1-1 going to Toronto. But yes, this is Andrew Perloff's puck. It's not my puck. Sully's like Mr. Vegas, and we all know Sully was friends with Perloff before I was friends with Sully. So we were at the game together, awesome seats. And since Sully knows everyone in this arena, which is an awesome arena, I think it's called like T-Mobile Arena, they flipped Sully a puck, and Sully gave it to Perloff. So this is Perloff's puck, if anyone was wondering. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Bart Winkler is going to join us 20 minutes from now. Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU. Go Tigers! He's going to stop by at 5:20 p.m. Eastern time today. But when we come on back, we got to try to figure out what the heck Jerry Jones is saying.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oops, Jerry Jones did it again. Another press conference, another moment where I'm saying, huh? What's this guy trying to say? And just being lost and confused. My favorite Jerry Jones moment in a press conference, and I've said this before, is when he's talking about how you need a liberal arts degree over maybe what your master's degree is, because even though your master's degree is for like a higher level of education and it's a particular trait, things that you learn initially when you're at college where you get your first degree can help you if you're in a forest and you cut open your hand to try to patch your hand up together. And by the way, this was back in 2020 when he was trying to explain why that's why people should have confidence because of his past experience while they'll get a contract done with Dak Prescott. And the entire time, I was like, okay, it's 2020. You know, COVID was a big thing then. You know, people maybe be partying, taking some substances. I thought Jerry Jones was, be careful here. Don't want to get sued or anything. I thought Jerry Jones was on something, okay? But then I just realized that this is just how Jerry Jones is these days. Let's hear from Jerry Jones yesterday. Let's go from least crazy to the craziest. Let's hear Jerry Jones on the QB position. Listen up.
We want Dak Prescott. So that's that. And there's no question how he improved last year. And I give Mike a lot of the credit for it. That improvement demonstrated to me there's more as far as ultimately winning what we're trying to do here. So your question nails it for me. We want Dak, and we think that there's room for growth.
All right, so that's pretty sane, right? You say you want Dak even though you haven't got a new deal done with Dak, and Dak has the ability to pursue free agency this offseason, because he has a no-tag clause in his contract, and they think that Dak could get even better, and they thought that he showed some of those signs this past year. All righty, that's fair. If that was just a press conference, we're not talking about this today. The only thing we'd be talking about is, well, why haven't you paid Dak Prescott yet? Well, Jerry Jones explained that. We'll get to that in just a second, but that's the craziest answer. Let's give you a medium-sized crazy answer here from Jerry Jones. This is Jerry Jones on picking 24th in the draft.
There's a very reason why we're 24th out of 32 teams draft that we get to pick a player this time. Because we were the 24th best in the NFL, according to the rules. And so we get to pick, everybody gets to pick before us up to 24.
If you were the 24th
best team in the NFL, you would actually be picking ninth. I'm not great at math, but you would be picking ninth. You would have the ninth overall pick. Because Jerry, they do the draft. If you're great and you're like the best team in the NFL and you win the Super Bowl like Kansas City, you'd be picking 32nd. So let's just make that clear. Also, I find it insufferable how Jerry Jones, we know what he meant to say by that, that they're the ninth best team in the NFL, and that's why they're picking at 24th. Now we're handing out participation trophies for being a top 10 team in the NFL. You got to take a victory lap? Oh, yeah, well, it goes without being said, but hey, you know, we're the, as he would say, the 24th best team in the NFL, so we got to make sure that we flaunt that. All righty. That's the buildup. Those are the pigs in the blankets. I first saw this last night in a tweet from EJ, Elijah Stewart, the producer of the Maggie and Perloff show. And I texted EJ on the side and I said, is this real or is this AI? Because I didn't think you could sound this dumb at the podium. I thought this was someone that just typed things into a computer and they had it talk like Jerry Jones. So this is Jerry Jones talking about, I guess, the quarterback. I don't even know what he's talking about. Carlos, it's cut three. Just play it.
You may be working on it and not moving anything but your eyebrows. Who in the world would think that we're not working on it? I work on it. It pops open at 2 a.m. sometimes. What you're actually question is why don't you have something done and negotiated and put in the drawer? Well, we'd like to see some more leaves fall. We'd like to see some more action. It's called option. A lot of guys need to hand it off. First guy through the line. Another one will keep it another step, decide whether to pitch it or not. He'll decide whether to turn upfield with it, and then he's still got a pitch left.
Huh?
So it's called option quarterback. That's working the problem.
I'm speechless. So it seemed like in the beginning, he was asked, have they been working on Dak's contract? And was there a line where he said, sometimes you're working on it at 2 a.m. and it just pops up? Was that a Viagra read for Jerry Jones for a second? That's what I thought it was. And then he's like, you need options? And then went into a rant about an option quarterback? Oh, boy. You know what? That audio was so good, I need to hear it again. Go ahead.
You may be working on it and not moving anything but your eyebrows. Who in the world would think that we're not working on it? I work on it. It pops open at 2 a.m. sometimes. What you're actually question is why don't you have something done and negotiated and put in the drawer?
Yes.
Well, we'd like to see some more leaves fall. We'd like to see some more action. It's called option. A lot of guys need to hand it off. First guy through the line. Another one will keep it another step, decide whether to pitch it or not. He'll decide whether to turn upfield with it, and then he's still got a pitch left. So it's called option quarterback. That's working the problem.
Oh, boy. So can I give you my serious football take from this? He contradicts himself. So do me a favor, Carlos. Play me once again, cut one. This is Jerry Jones on the quarterback position. Play me that one.
We want Dak Prescott.
All right, you can stop right there. You want Dak Prescott. Now, when he was going back to the wild rant about the quarterback position, he basically said in that wild rambling that he likes what he's seen, but he's wanted to see more. Once again, play cut three one more time.
You may be working on it and not moving anything but your eyebrows. Who in the world would think that we're not working on it? I work on it. It pops open at 2 a.m. sometimes. What you're actually question is why don't you have something done and negotiated and put in the drawer? Well, we'd like to see some more leaves fall. We'd like to see some more action.
Stop. You can stop it there. You have seen enough from Dak Prescott to determine if you should give him the money or not. And if anything, Jerry Jones, it would have behooved you to get this deal done before free agency so you could have given him a long-term extension and then lowered his cap hit significantly this year instead of like the $4 or $5 million that you did. So the Cowboys are trying to tell you, in one breath, Dak is our guy. And then in the next breath, then why have you given a contract extension? We want to see more. That means you don't fully believe in him. Now, he may end up being your guy that gets a long-term extension because he's good, not great, and good quarterbacks get great quarterback money like we've seen before. And Dak Prescott has been through this messy situation with the Cowboys before, and he ended up getting a long-term lucrative extension. But if I'm Dak Prescott, I hear that bull junk and that incoherent rambling, and I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm out. At the end of the year, I have a no-tag clause. I could leave if I want to. I would leave because the Cowboys tell you he's a franchise quarterback. They've paid him like he's a franchise quarterback. But do they treat Dak Prescott like a franchise quarterback? Doesn't sound like that, because now these are two contract negotiations where Jerry Jones has done some very entertaining rambling. But they keep on saying, yeah, he's our guy. And then moments later, oh, no, we need to see more. That'd be me like saying, hey, Carlos, you're my guy. And then a job opens up here. And I'm like, you know what? You may not be ready. I need to see more. Are you really my guy? I don't even want to hear what Carlos is secretly whispering behind the glass that I can't hear him right now. Wait, that happened with me?
No comment. No comment.
That hasn't happened with me.
No, not with you, but no comment.
Oh, with other people. I don't want to get Carlos in any trouble here. So you know what we'll do? We'll
take a break. I love my job.
But I hate my life. It is the Zach Yelp Show on the Sports Network, the Infinity Sports Network. Sorry. Brian Thomas is going to join us coming up at 5:20 p.m. Eastern. Bart Winkler and a Winkler Wednesday next. We'll see if I'll even be allowed back in the studio after this Infinity Sports Network update with Dexter Henry.
It's an epic battle for the Infinity Sports Network. Sack.
Lethargic. Putrid. Pathetic. Quitters. They're quitters. What a joke.
Bart.
Something fun to talk about? That's what we do here. It's like, hey, guys, it's like we're just hanging out at a bar talking sports.
It's time for Winkler Wednesday. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Bart Winkler is the fantastic host of the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm laughing because Bart has a Bucks rally towel, I guess is what we will call it, for their postseason run. You could hear Bart Monday through Friday right here from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern time on many of these same stations. Also, Bart and JR linking up together to anchor CBS. Ooh. Infinity Sports Network's draft coverage. So I have to go find a quarter and put it in the mug that's somewhere behind me that I'm sure people have been using for the vending machine. Anyway, Bart Winkler, I'm trying to promote you and you're messing up my show. So what's going on?
Well, great to be joining you here on the Infinity Sports Network.
How concerned are you? Bucks, I remember there was a time before you were a big-time national radio host. You did a very successful local morning show on 1250 The Fan in Milwaukee. And I brought you on when the Milwaukee Bucks were down 2-0 in the NBA Finals to the Suns. And you went out of your way to say that the Bucks were going to win that series in six. This is now 1-1. You don't have Giannis Antetokounmpo. Pascal Siakam just kicked your ass last night. And Doc Rivers is still Doc Rivers. As this goes back to Indiana 1-1, will the Bucks win this series?
So I'm going to delay saying no, even though I'm a little bit worried. I think where I was at the beginning of the series and the playoffs was, for me as a Bucks guy, it just didn't feel the same kind of feeling that I had.
Yeah.
When I told you they were coming back to win. I don't have any feeling that like the Bucks are going to be playing basketball in June or even at the end of May. It's just been too weird of a season and too much is trying to be accomplished at the same time. It's very hard. Then you have an injury, which is the third straight year that they have an injury. And it's a big one. It's Giannis, of course, who I think if he was in this series, they're up 2-0. Pascal Siakam, the Bucks are going to have to like dig into one of their rookies off the bench or something to find a guy that can stop this guy, because the only guy they have on the roster that can is Giannis, who is hurt. It doesn't sound optimistic that he's going to be back for game three. If that's the case, I'm not optimistic about the Bucks' chances. And then even if he comes back, it's going to be like with the Heat series last year, where it was too little too late. This Pacers team, with all due respect to the many friends I've met in Indiana over the last 13 hours since I said something negative about their man, Tyrese Haliburton, online. It was just that I don't like him. I mean, I don't like Tyrese Haliburton. Sorry.
You know what's interesting with Tyrese Haliburton?
I think that he won an in-season tournament quarterfinal, and he thinks he's the best player in the league. Sorry.
You know what's crazy about him? How he has, like, two voices. He could be speaking in one pitch, and then it goes in a completely different pitch. I don't think we have that audio, but since you're talking about you taking a shot at Tyrese Haliburton, let me play you Tyrese Haliburton taking a shot at Bucks fans.
I'm expecting it to be unbelievable. No doubt about that. I mean, we've had regular season crowds better than what we've played in these last two games, you know, so we expect a great crowd. A lot of people are excited about what's to come, you know, in the series, and just the energy in the city right now with everything that's going on, but especially with us. So we're excited to go.
I wish I had a balloon right now, because he sounds like he's just sucking helium, like after 8 seconds into what he was saying. I forgot that was the clip that we had where he took I forgot he took the shot at Bucks fans because of the crazy voice change. And that's not the first time I've heard that. That's wild.
Okay, so a couple things there. One, I think it's an act. Two,
you don't think that's his actual voice? How he could change it like
that? That's an act.
That's kind of
wild. You don't have two voices.
I don't know.
He's the first guy in history to have two voices.
But is it kind of like Shep, who you work with, where he could get real like quiet and soft spoken, and then when he gets animated, he just gets really loud? You think it's like one of those things?
No, that's different tone.
Yeah, you're right. It's completely different.
This guy went from doing like a bad Shaq impression to a bad Patrick Mahomes impression. That's what he sounds like. It makes no sense.
It's kind of crazy. So you got a lot of heat on social media? You got a lot of heat on social media, but you said you don't like Haliburton?
Oh, yeah. Well, the problem is like during a playoff run, I like on the national platform that I have been so blessed with.
Yeah.
I like to talk about things from a national point of view. On my online feed, I still feel like I am talking to a Wisconsin-based audience.
Sure.
I'm certainly not talking to Indiana fans, of which I found out there were more than I thought. And it's the same kind of retorts. Like,
and by the way, we are on right now in Indianapolis, and I'm no longer on in Milwaukee. So as much as I used to be a sycophant for Milwaukee, and now I'm saying go Pacers. All right? So go Pacers. Bart's an idiot. Don't listen to him.
No, I'm good. I'm glad I'm talking to Indiana. I need to talk to Indiana real quick. This thing that you got with Tyrese Haliburton, like talking up your crowd, I would be pumped if I'm an Indiana fan to hear that. Oh, he just crapped on a Milwaukee crowd in the state where he's from, clearly doesn't care, but he's going to hype us. Like our crowd now is going to be more hyped up because of what he said. That's like a call to hype us up. But the problem is, your crowds, you have to prove it now, because the only reasons your crowds are whatever he thinks in his head is because in November, there was this made-up Fantasyland tournament that you took second place in, and so you guys bought into it. because you haven't been relevant in 25 years. So then your crowd's been a little more crazy. Okay. So you have to match whatever fake energy you had for this fake tournament. Also, don't fall into the trap. Like, there's smart basketball people in Indiana. Of course, what do we always hear about Indiana? It's like the greatest place to play basketball. You're getting Caitlin Clark, Hoosiers, Larry Bird, French Lick, all of this stuff. It's a great state for basketball. Outstanding state.
Pistons-Pacers rivalry.
Yeah, but have that kind of, like, confidence. Have the confidence, like, basketball is our thing.
Simon Family, Reggie Miller, come on.
Yeah, this Pacers team, they don't have that. They have little brother, not even beat big brother. Little brother beat a different person. Like, they have fifth grader gets bullied by his eighth grade brother and then beat the hell out of some kid in fourth grade energy. Yeah. This clapping thing they were doing last night and Bobby Portis's face. It's just like, you guys have won nothing yet. Just calm down. Tyrese Halliburton is probably, at this point in the series, no better than the seventh most important player so far in the series.
That's a take.
So just relax, okay? Siakam is going to continue to destroy the Bucks without Giannis. Celebrate then. I'd say act like you've been there before, but it's been a long time since you've been there before.
Man, your mentions must have been really crazy. I've never heard you get this animated before. You seem personally offended.
I'm just trying to I want to enlighten people. You know, you got some of these people who the show starts, right? My show starts and says, live in Milwaukee, he's Bart Winkler. And then people are rushing to call like, Bart talks too much Milwaukee. Brother, all you heard was the opening. Relax. I'm talking Lakers and Cowboys and Duke and Yankees as much as every other schmuck on the radio. It's all good.
Thought you were about to curse there for a second. Hey, by the way.
I wanted to. Your show. I don't care.
Reggie Bush. I'm glad he got his Heisman back. I find it weird to talk about it, though, because for years we were all bitching about him not having his Heisman. Now he gets it, and it's like, okay, now we need to move on to something else. Like, I don't think there's a take to have today with Reggie Bush outside of it was so stupid that the NCAA and the Heisman for all these years kept it away from him, and the Heisman Trust was like, all right, bleep the NCAA. We're just going to give it back to him.
I didn't either, and it's kind of like the Pete Rose thing. Like, if Pete Rose gets into the Hall of Fame, that's going to be a bad day for sports talk. But I think I found a take on the Reggie thing.
Okay.
I'm not just happy for Reggie, like, to get the award back. I'm happy that he's included again back into that family.
True.
Like, he's back in the Heisman house. Okay? He's back at the awards ceremony. When they gave him this trophy, there were, like, 15 other Heisman winners there. And, like, they're excited. They finally feel like they're whole again.
And I'm assuming he goes to the ceremony this year. That's going to be a big time and well-deserved standing ovation when they reintroduce
it. It's not just the NIL stuff now. It's like I was watching a show, Notre Dame Packer legend Aaron Taylor.
Okay, yeah.
He was talking about the draft, and he goes, now that these guys can legally take money instead of under the table like I did, and Aaron just laughs. And it's like everyone was doing it.
Yeah.
And Reggie's the one guy that gets penalized.
It's also – with what happened, you could say, you know, his family broke a rule, he broke a rule, whatever. It doesn't erase what we saw in the field. So, like, yeah. I don't like Jim Boeheim, for example. But the fact that he got wins taken away was stupid.
You can't take away. It happened. The things happened.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take it away. You can't vacate titles. Then who won? Nobody won this year? You played all these games and nobody won? No, you played. Somebody won.
And I'm a Heisman Trophy voter, but I was annoyed.
I've heard. Oh, my God, have I heard.
I was annoyed with the Heisman Trophy Trust that they kept on saying, oh, it's the NCAA's issue. I'm like, no, you could give him back the trophy if you wanted to. And I'm glad that they did. All right, I got 30 seconds. What's your biggest NFL draft take as we get set for this big draft show that you're hosting tomorrow?
I think Michael Penix Jr. is going to have a better career than where he's going to get drafted. And I totally think that J.J. McCarthy, all this hype, was a master move by Jim Harbaugh to make somebody trade up to go to number 4 so that he can get Marvin Harrison Jr. at 5.
So he could get, okay, I could see that. That's actually a very good take. A very good take. I do think, though, Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to go 4. I think it's going to be quarterback, 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 1, 2, 3. Chargers could trade out, or they'll end up taking Malik Nabers. That's what I think is going to end.
Well, Harbaugh's trying his best. That's all I know.
Yeah. Now, how about Schefter today on ESPN? They're not trading Justin Herbert. No crap. We all know that, but hey.
Oh, geez. I got a new lead for tonight.
Yeah. He is Bart Winkler, the host of the Bart Winkler Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Bart, thank you. Pacers and how many? Six? I think you said six. Pacers and six? Is that what I heard?
Yeah, probably.
Man. That is a demoralized Bart Winkler. If you're listening to us in Indianapolis, make sure you tweet him. Make sure you go after him. He just came after your guy Halliburton. Coming on back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.